Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, perimenopause and menopause, it just doesn't happen to the woman in the relationship. It affects the entire relationship. You're going to learn a lot. Stay tuned.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I am Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and we're going to dive right back in. This is a part two in a series. We're lucky enough to have Dr. Ariana Scholes Douglas. Again, she's the founder and medical director of Tula Wellness. She's also the host of the Stay Juicy podcast. And she gave us an incredible interview last week. If you haven't listened to it, jump on back. We really talked a lot in depth about menopause, perimenopause, helping people understand it, helping understand sort of the gap in our healthcare system that is leading to it being very difficult for women to get support. Today, we're jumping back in, but we're really taking that information and diving into relationships and how it affects relationships. So once again, welcome. Dr. Ariana.
Great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So first of all, thank you for all of the wisdom you shared in our part one. I think, again, any light we could draw into when women start to feel these symptoms and we don't even know what they are, but just disconnection, fatigue, insomnia, a big thing is loss of sex drive, right? And so because you are a menopause, perimenopause, all of the words combined expert, we really thought it would be great for you to maybe share your experience of what you have seen, because you've seen thousands of women over your time in this field, around what you've seen, how this has impacted like intimate relationships, either with yourself or with their partners.
Yeah, that's, I hope we have some good time here, because there's it's a big issue for relationships. And yeah. I think it's important first to understand kind of the brain chemistry that's changing again, because I think once people understand that it's not just, oh, I don't want to have sex, or this is just kind of the way it is, they understand that there's a biological reason why some of this is happening. And so much of it, again, goes back to estrogen and how estrogen affects dopamine. And that's a huge impact on our libidos, our drive, not just for sex, but just for life, our motivation. So in essence, think of it as really, it's kind of a dopamine killer. So as estrogen declines, it affects literally how dopamine is signaled in the brain. And so we don't have the same desires. And everything really changes as a result. Actually, I did a whole podcast on how dopamine affects the brain and how it affects your sex drive and desire, libido, all of those things. And I learned a lot myself because, again, it's a typical symptom. Women will say, I love my husband. He's really great, but I have no desire. If you told me I didn't, and I felt this way personally, it was like, if at one point, I was like, if I never had sex again in my life, I would be so fine with that. Like, I'm so okay.
He's heard it too, right? No, I know. Sure.
And so the first question I would ask a couple usually, or the woman, because I'm typically seeing her, is, well, you know, when she comes with that issue, do you like your partner? Because I tell you, I can't fix, I can't fix your relationship. If it's a bad relationship or there are issues there, those are only going to be made worse during this period. But if that is not the case, is he pushing the right buttons? Again, assuming these are heterosexual relationships, if all of those things are kind of checked, and oftentimes women will say, well, yeah, once I'm into it, it's fine. But like, I just don't have the desire.
Right.
And so just, you know, we have to start there first.
Yeah.
Understanding that there really is something biologically, neurochemistry that has changed in your brain in terms of how dopamine is signaled. Two, we talked about it last week, just in terms of all of the mental, spiritual, physical, and psychological changes that you're going through as estrogen is fluctuating and ultimately declining, and how it impacts just about every cell in our body, especially our brain chemistry.
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting. When I, again, like we talked about it last week, like there's so many different external variables. Like, oh, I'm really busy. Oh, we're just go, go, go from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. Oh, we haven't had a date night in 6 months. Like, I didn't think about perimenopause symptoms, asked the reason why my desire was down. I was just like, EJ just sucks at planning a date night, right? Or so then I would get really frustrated with him. And then again, yes, my desire was zero. And I just said, I feel like just, I have a broken vagina. That's what I said to EJ. Just like, imagine it's broken. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's definitely not working. And so you're just going to have to accept that. Like, that was our reality, because I didn't know anything else at all. And so you explaining it that way, like dopamine killer, estrogen, because everything changed for me.
Yeah.
You can ask EJ when I started my hormone replacement therapy. I was like, it's happening.
Yeah. Something's going on. What's happening down there?
Well, I mean, I started it. And remember, we went to the summer in Maine. Mm-hmm. We probably went from, like, so for over 9 years when I could say this perimenopause happened, like, sex was very infrequent and I would get very anxious because it never used to be that way. I used to be the higher desire partner and, like, pounce on EJ all the time. The less sex we would have, the more anxious I would get.
The farther away from the last.
So, like, if it would be 1 month, then I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's been 1 month and now I'm so nervous. And so, like, it just, I would be so anxious even if I would engage in sex because I could never force it. I don't want to do that. I'm a history of sexual abuse and trauma. Like, I know, like, my body has to feel safe when I am, but I would have so much anxiety. And so, again, I didn't understand it. So I start HRT, I start progesterone, the estrogen patch, and testosterone injections. And I would say for me, it took about 6 weeks and it was just this drive came back. Like, and then EJ and I were doing it almost every night. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is amazing. And I don't know if it's Maine and I don't know if it's the HRT, but it was something. I just felt like I couldn't even believe it. Like, I hadn't had it in 9 years. And I was like, how did it take just 6 weeks of, like, maybe my hormones going back on track, my anxiety lessened. I was so grateful that I could have orgasms and just be attracted to this man that I knew I loved and fell in love with. And it just came, like, my body started to get juicy. And then they also prescribed the estradiol cream.
Estradiol cream, yes.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please. It feels so like I'm a teenager again.
Well, and that's, again, estrogen affects just about every cell in our bodies. Yeah. And when it comes to our vaginas, that's real. And so estrogen decline, the vaginal lining thins, it gets dry.
Yeah.
And so if sex hurts, then who wants that? Like, that kind of defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah.
So a lot of women also just resign themselves, like, oh, it's uncomfortable. I'll just kind of grin and bear it and get through it. But, you know, I tell people, no, you do not. You really don't have to suffer, right? And even if you are afraid of hormone therapy systemically, so that would be a patch or after you take estrogen, at a minimum, like, you please put it in your vagina because that is really, that's your last hope there.
Yeah.
And there are other products that you can use, but at the end of the day, that's what's declined and that's what makes it juicy again. So it's, I use this analogy and it's going back to stay juicy. When we're younger, we're grapes, right? We're plump, we're juicy, we're ready, it's all good. And as we get older, it's a raisin. Mm-hmm. And my job is to help you get your raisin and get it back to a grape, girl. So that's what we do. And you can do that with hormone therapy. Obviously, vaginal estrogen is going to be important. Yeah. But sometimes when women go a long, long time, even the estrogen therapy isn't helpful. So we do what we call, I don't like the term vaginal rejuvenation, but at the end of the day, rejuvenation means we are making something, we're returning it back to its more youthful state. So I tell you, I'm not going to make you have a 20-year-old vagina, but at least it will lubricate, you'll be able to enjoy sex. Yeah. And what people need to also understand is that, you know, there's no real script for what happens to our sex lives as we age in this way. And so a lot of us are just kind of in the dark, like, why does it hurt? Why does it take 10 times longer to have an orgasm? And, you know, everything has changed.
Well, imagine that. And then also women who are listening to their primary care doctor who have now prescribed SSRIs, which was me, and I couldn't even think about having an orgasm. That's, like, So, and then they even, it's like a,
it's a double whammy.
It's a double whammy.
Because they also can have a drying effect on the vagina.
Yeah.
They completely can kill your libido.
Yeah.
And so, so you have to really, I mean, this is an area that honestly needs to be navigated. Yeah. And we're not used to navigating it. It's normally, you know, when you're younger, it's just like, hey, I want it. It's here. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you got to think about, like, was it going to hurt? And
so
do
much
I really
anxiety,
want this?
Yes.
And, is, you know, there's just a lot of other things that can come.
That I love that you said that, because my experience was like, why am I thinking about it now like this? Like, it used to just be so fun. Even when I was pregnant with the twins, we'd have a ball. Like, I was like 60 pounds and a... And then all of a sudden it became daunting and anxiety provoking and depressing and then hopelessness and powerless. And 9 years we went through that, yes?
I think, yeah. I think.
And what was it like for
you? I think
it
was like 6 to 8 years before it was even thought of a hormone replacement. I mean, I think we were just for a long time trying to figure it out. I mean, I think most of what we did was just try to find a way to talk about it.
At least saved us.
We were kind of like in some ways like, blessed and cursed as being therapists. We were like, well, if we talk this out, if we create emotional safety, we can at least survive it. And I think that's what we did. I mean, I did a lot of work on no expectations of like, sort of like accepting that whatever we had, I was happy to have that with you. I don't know, like for you, it was hard to say because we had this thing where having kids late, you know, because it wasn't like we had kids and then 8 years later, perimenopause sort of like entered our lives. Like we had twins and then like there was probably no break between the two. So we didn't know what was what. Is it like just because we have a business and we have two kids and you're a stepmom and we are not prioritizing our relationship. Like, we just didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Well, it was all of those things, right? It wasn't as if you just had hormone therapy and everything else is going to be resolved.
No.
Right.
And that's the issue. It's just that when you throw the lack of estrogen and all of the fluctuations that you're going through, then that's like putting a match really on the flame, like putting oil on the fire, whatever the term is, right? Like you are exacerbating and it just takes things to a whole nother level.
I think another big issue, and this also kind of ties into like medical legislation, was we did have a point in our relationship where Tara was the higher desire and I found my libido dropping, got tested. Low, you know, was in my 40s, had lower testosterone. You know, a day later, I got a freaking 5 vials of it in the medical cabinet. You know, I had to like lower mine because it was like, wow, this came back too much.
Right.
And then so as I kind of got my hormone therapy
like the
figured
worst
out,
timing, Dr.
hers plummeted. And then
I was like, stop taking your testosterone.
Yeah, we had many like arguments where she was like, stop taking it. I was like, I don't want to like, I know what it feels like when I don't. I'm more tired. Mm-hmm. I don't just have that like libido. With libido comes like a sort of like energy of life.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to drop that. Like I'll deal with this, what's going on between the two of us and try to support you in it, but I'm not going to stop. Yeah. And then it wasn't until like literally probably like 7 years later where you got the HRT and it started.
Like 11 years later, babe. Literally. Oh,
well, let me tell you, one of my favorite groups of women that I love to treat with testosterone are exactly those late 30-year-old women who have those young kids because you are tired.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're working outside of the home and you're, you know, taking care of kids, like that is a libido killer regardless.
Right.
Right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You can't have libido and good sex when you're exhausted.
It's true.
And, you know, think about sex is that is a, I call it a parasympathetic activity.
Yeah.
We need to be in our parasympathetic mode, not our sympathetic mode.
Right.
And sympathetic mode is traffic and kids and go making lunches and all of the things
all
that go
stuff
with life. And parasympathetic is relaxing and receiving and being able to calm. And so when do you get to do that when you're 37 and you have a 2-year-old and you're doing life like that? So I understand that, you know, personally as well. And I was afraid of, you know, testosterone because, again, as a provider, we weren't trained at all on how to dose testosterone. Testosterone, women at the end of the day make more testosterone over their lives than they do estrogen. And it is not a male hormone, right? It's both of our hormones. Mm-hmm. And as you know, once you take it, it's not even just about libido, but it's about motivation,
yeah,
energy, mm-hmm. like, it's real. And for some people, they're very sensitive to that decline of it. And just a little bit can go a long way. Mm-hmm. And true story, when I first, I mean, I had been taking testosterone, but pellets were, again, those are kind of poo-pooed in the more conventional medical circles. Mm-hmm. And pellets are basically another way to get hormone therapy.
Right.
But, you know, it's an incision, a small incision they make on your backside, and you put this pellet in, and it's going to last you, you know, about 3 months. And so I would have women coming into the office who were getting pellets. They literally would be skipping in, and they're just like, I love my pellets. And I would be like, I don't do pellets, and I don't believe in pellets. But I had a nurse practitioner that was training, and she needed she was working somewhere else, and she was like, I need to practice. I was like, you know what? Let me get some of these pellets. Let me see what everybody's talking about with these pellets. I tell you, 6 weeks later, I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I literally was like, first of all, I forgive every guy that I was with that cheated on me, because if I was walking around feeling like this, I would completely understand, like, who, like, there's an opposite end of that too, as well. But at the end of the day, testosterone is not just about libido. It really is about, as EJ mentioned, just your energy for life.
Yeah.
I agree. And that would be hard, even like, I remember. Yeah, I just remember still having that sort of like excitement about life and looking at Tara sometimes and seeing like hers is staunched out right now. I mean, and I think like in some ways, even though you've been on the, like, it's sort of rebuilding. Like, I don't think it's like an overnight thing, right?
Well, no, because we're also evolving, right?
Yeah.
Because first, you know, we were often sexual for a lot of women just for the purpose of kind of procreating, and maybe they didn't have as much desire or that freedom, the fear of getting pregnant, just all the things, just kids being in the house. Like, it just wasn't as comfortable, right? But now at this point in life, you're kind of, kind of, there's a discovery, right? And if you didn't discover some of those things, especially about your own body, as you discover, you want to do more of that. If you have a partner that you can do that with, that's even better, but you don't have to have a partner.
Yeah.
You can discover these things on your own. Even in, with, for me, I'm going to be 60 this year. And just within the last 5 years, I would say, I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that that felt that way. Like, there's things that, you know, but we have time. And, you know, there's not kids that I'm not worried that somebody's going to hear me in the next room or all the things, right?
It's like, and a different chapter, kind
of. It's a different chapter, and it's a priority for me, just because I feel like it was not an area that I had gotten to really explore the way I wanted to. And so I think there's so many areas where we can really grow and evolve even more, because we didn't even have permission to really tap into that part of our sexuality. And so,
that.
To your point, it is a testosterone, but it's also just the evolution of you.
Yeah. And giving permission to, like, that it's okay.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Pleasure is permissible.
Yeah. Yeah. And not giving in. Like, this is what, right, we have, I would say 85% of our couples that present for couples therapy are impacted by their intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy. And it's like, wow, it's treated as such a awful source of suffering. When in reality, like you said, like, parasympathetic, it should be this experience that feels calming and connecting and relaxing, yet it's become such a source of tension that it's like, just get, if we don't ever have to even talk about sex again, then we would be fine. It's like, no, how do we help educate that there's so many different factors that bleed into healthy physical intimacy? Yes, one of them is being able to talk about it in healthy ways, no matter what's happening, but that there's a huge, especially in this episode, huge hormone components to testosterone and estrogen and dopamine that even create that level of sex drive in our bodies. I'm speaking after 10 years of zero sex drive, like I started hormone replacement therapy and I have a sex drive and it's pretty fantastic. But I still had to work through my anxiety, my fear. Like I still have that like, oh gosh, what if it doesn't happen? Like from the 10 years of hypervigilance I was in. But EJ knows how to support me in that. And sometimes I'll talk about it before we want to be physically intimate because I'm like, I'm having that anxiety now.
In some ways, it was a really tough gift for us because it forced us to really talk about difficult things, to face a dynamic that didn't have a quick solution, to be supportive of an experience that, you know, there's no way I could understand in any way what you were going through. And in a lot of ways, there was no ways for you to understand what I was going through. And so it really did give us a way to get closer, but there was a missing piece. I mean, there was a medical, physiological piece that helped us kind of take it over. Yeah.
And I want you to think of it this way too, because you have men that actually do go through andropause. So their testosterone levels are declining. You have women going through perimenopause at the same time. And you have potentially children in the house and or children leaving the house. So you have a lot of different things that are happening, like major life things. Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes you'll have a teenager with a woman who's going through perimenopause, and that's not a great combination, let me tell you.
We know a little bit about that.
Yeah. So you have all of these factors that are coming into play, and that's a lot to navigate for any couple, but having grace. But I think it's so important because especially for men to understand, I've heard this from a lot of men, and to some extent, I feel like I need to talk somehow to more men than women because I think they can support their partners because they will say, I've had men who have been divorced and say, I really think that was what our divorce was from. She was going through perimenopause and neither one of us understood what was going on. Yeah. And so a relationship can go through so much strain. Somebody needs to understand what the hell is happening.
Exactly.
So that, you know, if there's room for salvaging it.
Yeah.
How do you, okay, so I have two questions. Let me go with this one first. Mm-hmm. Are there women who go through perimenopause and menopause who like don't ever need any kind of hormone replacement?
Absolutely.
Some women who can just navigate it. And
yeah, it's going to be it's a different experience for everyone. So I would say at least, I don't know if we actually know the real statistics, but I would say on average, a third of women are going to have pretty significant symptoms. A third will have moderate symptoms, and the other third will have less than. So, you know, I talk to women, I never had a hot flash. They're like, well, it's not just about the hot flash, right? Because you can go through and not have a hot flash, but you also can go through and have brain fog and joint pain and feel miserable otherwise, but you're not necessarily experiencing what you consider it to be that. But that said, every woman is going to have a different experience. And I'm not even saying that hormone therapy is for everyone, because actually I always start with lifestyle and diet because alcohol and inflammatory foods and sleep are huge. So you can mitigate a lot of these things just by, I put a lot of patients on what's called the food elimination diet, and just to see how they feel once they eliminate some of these trigger foods and just getting exercise, eliminating some of these trigger foods, like that can take away 50% of your symptoms right there.
It's so interesting though, because it also can medicate 50% of your symptoms, right? Like for me, I was like, comfort foods. I was like, at least I have this, my popcorn and cheese at night.
You're not going to mitigate symptoms with popcorn and Chardonnay.
Exactly.
You're only going to make them worse.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It was like the self-sabotage and I didn't even know it.
And people are like, awful. I want to sleep more, so I'm going to drink more. No, that's just going to make you say you might fall asleep, but you'll be up.
Oh, it's horrible.
You'll be flashing.
Heart racing, awful thoughts, it's intrusive, everything, shame.
It could be alcohol is really not your friend when it comes to perimenopause.
No,
it's not your friend, period, but we do it, but it definitely can make things worse.
What's the advice you give to the coupleship, like the couple that's going through this, you know, it's straining their relationship. They think they love each other still. But it just, they don't even know anymore what's up from down.
They just feel lost.
Well, I don't do couples, right? So yeah. I'm always biased because I generally only see women. And actually, when a woman brings her partner in, oftentimes, it's awkward because yeah. I'm not a therapist. So I make very clear, like, I'm not a therapist, mm-hmm. but I kind of know what's probably happening here.
Right.
And I had one patient recently, her husband sent her in. He was like, you need to go. And she's like, he's making me come here. And I was like, okay. But he could tell that there was something going on yeah. with her when she couldn't. So what I say when I do have that opportunity is understand that it's just as important for the man in that relationship, if especially, again, a heterosexual relationship, for him to understand this phase. Because for you also to be in the dark means yeah. that you are thinking of her behavior. Like I've heard him say, it's yep. like she doesn't love me anymore or she doesn't yeah. want me. And so they feel a sense of lack of desire. Their partner doesn't want them the same way. And so I see more men like out in the field, like if I'm speaking
yeah. Yeah.
and they'll kind of come up to me privately and say, God, I'm so glad you said that because, you know, my partner the other day, she was sat at the kitchen table and she just pretty much gave all the ultimatums of what she wasn't doing anymore and how mm-hmm. this and that. And he didn't understand, like, who is this woman? Like, who is she?
Yeah.
Because she's evolving. Yeah. She's growing into this different person. She doesn't even know what the hell yeah. is going on. So it's really great if the partner
yeah.
can witness this and recognize so that they can yeah. start to guide that help. What you should not say is, are you in perimenopause?
Oh my God.
Like, don't do that.
Yes, yes. Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation.
So if you're a couple that is feeling disconnected, you've kind of fallen off track, you're not ready to give up. You know that you love each other. You just don't know how to get back on track. We've got you.
We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply, intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you. You know what's interesting? So we talk about on a lot of our podcasts, how like transitions are stressful and most of us don't have the skills or learn the skills to even understand how to deal with transitions because we just like change is hard. We like the same. And that perimenopause, menopause, it's like, I just want to use the same word now. That's not a transition that's obvious. Like, oh, it just happened like the 365 days I'm on
no.
menopause. And so that's interesting because, right, if we have a transition of like kids are leaving the house or a new job or moving, here are the skills. This is more of a slow transition over time. And I can say this, we get a lot of couples come in where one of them is very resigned. Like if we don't start having sex again, I'm leaving, I'm going elsewhere, I'm going to have an affair, whatever it is. And that like there's this acceptance piece, right? Like, thankfully, EJ and I worked on acceptance of our sex life.
We are now, but we're working on it.
Yeah. And we didn't have these answers for 9+ years. So like we were in this acceptance phase. So there is, even if you don't know if it's happening, right, hopefully this podcast will like make you think, wow, I should go see a doctor who possibly specializes in perimenopause symptoms and see if this could be a contributor. That's huge. That's one part of it. But that accepting whatever place you're in right now instead of resigning to it is going to feel a lot more comfortable and more freedom instead of being stuck in this place of like, it'll never change, you know? And so thank you for that. I mean, I know you're asking about partners and just feel like having this like level of acceptance of wherever we were at was huge for me, instead of you looking outside of our relationship to have sex.
I mean, I
thank you for not doing that.
You're welcome. It seems like a low bar, but like, it seems like what I could have done a better job of, and what I think a lot of men who are in relationship with women, is the over focus on the libido and the under focus on her sleep, her mood, her joy of life.
All the responsibilities that she's carrying.
Like that there's like a lot more ways that this stage of a woman's life affects them than libido. But I think men are so hyper-focused on that because I forget who was, we recently were talking about this, about how men are so attached to sex because it validates them. Not even that it's about love and connection, that they say that oftentimes. It's, oh, it's about love, it's about being loved, it's about being connected. But really, one of the primary reasons men need it is they need to be validated that they're lovable, that they're likable, that they're attractive, all of those things. And so men are like so focused on like, I'm not getting this need met that it becomes very unappealing for their partner to address it. You know, whereas if you could be more holistic and you could be more aware of like, gosh, I like, you know, the fact that you haven't slept well in 6 months, a year, like I really feel for you. And what's that like? And all of those things might make it a smoother journey, a smoother transition.
Yeah.
I wish there was an easy answer. Like there's so many other things that are going on, and it can be very, very challenging for a relationship. And I just, again, I don't get to talk to men very often. I hear it from the woman's vantage point, but they often say my partner feels like I don't want him anymore. Yeah. So it's back to your point of being validated. And she's like, and I do, but I just don't even know how to express that anymore. And so it's just as frustrating oftentimes for women that it is for the men. And some women, lots of women that I see just literally, it's just duty sex. Like they do it because they know that's an important part of the relationship, but they're just not into it that way. And there's a lot of dynamics that go into that.
So dose of hope here, or many doses of hope, right? Because you have seen, again, thousands of women, and whether it's through hormone replacement therapy, whether it's through lifestyle changes, like when a woman starts to be more balanced hormonally, regardless of how, right? Lifestyle, sleep, food, HRT, like what have you noticed the shifts and their reporting around like intimate connection with their partner?
Oh, well, I mean, it goes, she's like, yes, I love it. I literally have a bell in my office and because we do the vaginal rejuvenation treatments. And when women come in and like the full circle has been, you know, like we've gotten there, and I can literally tell just by her aura. Like I've seen women walk in the office and I'm like, oh, yeah, something has shifted. And like, but when we do some of our treatments and women are like, I can have sex. Like, I love it again. I ring the little happy bell. I'm like, another, this is my goal. It's like, I'm saving the world one vagina at a time.
I love it.
But what I see is a shift in confidence. I see a shift in really, I don't want to call it self-love, but it's just something. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
But when a woman comes into her own, it's work though, right? Like, people want an easy fix. They just think it's not like just slapping an estrogen patch is not going to solve it. Like there's work you have to do. You got to do that inner work. I think doing something like some type of therapy is great because there's no manual for this.
Yeah.
And so especially when you're trying to navigate this for yourself, with your relationship. So even if it's not therapy as a couple, for yourself, for you to learn, who am I? What do I really want? Really taking that time. And so I just see women evolve. I see them
evolve,
go into this new space. And I wish I had a word for it, but it's very achievable.
I feel like evolve is like the perfect word. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because it's like a new chapter. They're starting to find themselves in a different way.
Yeah.
Right? Menopause, right? I don't want to say even pre-peri, post nothing. And it's like letting go a lot of these old stories that don't work for them. And it's like this, like I think about, you know, our kids are still going to be in the house for another 8 more years. But like EJ's always wanted to buy like sex furniture. Oh, and yeah. I would be like, our kids will like spill Cheetos and like rant. And but like when they do leave the house,
yes.
like having that sense of adventure and playful and freedom.
Yeah.
Because I can see that now. But had I not been able to have these shifts for me, I feel like, oh, life without sex is fine. Like literally in my body, I would have felt that.
Yeah.
But knowing that, like, for me, it was a chemical process, right? And my body feels more juicy again. So I can't wait for that next chapter. But it just brings, like, this sense of adventure, curiosity, and, like, what – like, even if you're a couple right now listening or an individual and you're struggling in your intimacy, and it's like, what could it be like, right? Because it's this evolving, right? We're not teenagers and again. We're not – we didn't just meet each other. Now we're in our honeymoon phase. We've had our kids. We've been through hell and back. We've been through low desire, high desire. We're not even having sex anymore. But if all these things could be put into place somehow and achievable, what could it be like?
I think it is achievable, but it does, you know, require both people
for
in
sure.
the relationship to
Absolutely.
Have some – understanding. And at least, I mean, I think from a woman's standpoint, if she can at least work on herself and get to the best place
yeah.
that she can be, because at the
yes,
end of the day, again, this is it's a journey that we're on. And as she evolves, as she learns, because it's not just about the sex, it's really about what else do I want? What do I
yeah.
want from you? What do I want from me? Like, you know, it's life is, you know, most of my life
yeah.
now there's more time behind me than probably in front of me.
Yeah.
So what is it? What am I here to do?
Yeah.
And we don't get that opportunity as women in particular to really sit down and be like, if it was just up to me, what does Tara want today? Like,
oh.
what do I get to do?
Yeah.
What do I want?
Yeah.
And so when you can really tap into your own pleasure, I think at least for me personally, just making that a priority for me, regardless of my partner, like whether it's
yeah.
pleasure in food,
mm-hmm.
whether it's my own self-pleasure, whatever it is that I
yeah.
enjoy, just making that a priority. And then that opens me even up for more
yeah.
pleasure. So it's
yeah.
not just, it's a couple thing, but it's an individual thing.
Like, I know.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. But usually women are more apt to do this,
yes.
to put themselves first.
Yes.
When they're reaching this age, they're in double middle fingers are up. Okay. Oh, one thing I wanted to say too really quickly is like, again, if you're like, oh, maybe I should go like have an assessment, blah, 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 or maybe HRT would be good. I remember the one thing that you and I kind of struggled with a little. You're like, so are you feeling that testosterone yet? Like, I totally get it. Like, for men, it's, like, very different. But I was like, I don't want this to be about you waiting for testosterone to kick in.
Yes.
Like, it can't – because what if it doesn't? And then that just makes me more anxious.
Because yeah.
it took, like, 6 weeks for me. I was like, it's not working. I'm but to have that, I guess, feeling of, like, let's talk about it, right? Not that sense of pressure
yeah.
because it's not about, like you said, it's not a one thing fix it all. It's not just that shot of testosterone is going to save our sex life, you know?
I'm laughing because my husband's like, I always know when your pellets kick in. He's like, no question. Or something if I take, but to the opposite, if I do, and then because every time is a little different. Sometimes I feel more. Sometimes
yeah.
I don't feel as much.
Yeah.
And it's going to fluctuate. And so sometimes he knows and he'll be like, exactly that. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, life happened. I don't know.
Exactly.
And again, that's why it's not just about the testosterone because
yeah.
I'm stressed. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
for me, like, I have to be in a certain headspace or not be in a certain headspace.
Yeah.
And I would say for a lot of women, they are so much in their heads. We are creatures of the mind and we
yeah.
are constantly thinking. And that inability to turn off the thinking is really where I see so much of a lot of this is
yeah.
because
yeah.
we're multitasking throughout the day
mm-hmm.
and we can't turn it off. And when you're thinking about, you know, did I get the kids whatever they needed for tomorrow, and you're a
yeah.
business owner and you're doing all these things
yeah.
and it's almost for me it's impossible to just make that go out of my brain.
Yeah.
So I joke, I say, women, we start here. So I'm pointing to my head, my heart, and then, you know, below. Yeah. For men, it's the opposite. I really believe, like, you start down here, maybe it gets to the heart, and it, I don't know where it ever gets to the head. So just joking.
I love that you said that, because EJ will often be like, Tara, if I don't even understand what you're, he's like, how could you be thinking about this and
it's
that?
It's exhausting. I'm like, I understand why you're burnt out, because I'll watch her in the kitchen, and she's just like, one thing, the next, and it's not linear. It's like something that happened yesterday, something that's supposed to happen in 3 weeks. Have they brushed their teeth yet?
Yes.
This and I'm just like, I would be exhausted if I was like,
just want you to know from another amazing female human being that this is just our brain, babe.
But that's how women work. Our brains work that way. Men are, I actually literally looked this up the other day, because I swear to God, I asked my husband to go, and he wanted to make some tea. So he goes in the pantry and he's like, I don't see the tea. And I'm like, God damn it. I know that tea is right there in front of you. And I'm going to be so pissed off when I walk in there. And literally the tea had all the tea bags out, and two of them were facing that had the label. You could see the name of the tea. And the other one was turned backwards. So, of course, the tea that he wanted was the one that was turned backwards. And I was just like, and it was literally in front of him. And I walked out and I was just like, so I chat GPT. I said, what, this has to be a genetic defect, because
men must be defective.
Yes. This, something isn't right. But when I looked it up, it was literally, I don't remember all the details, but at the end of the day, they look for one thing. Women look for things like out of place. They look in terms of the landscape.
Oh, yeah.
Men look in terms of just very focused.
Yeah.
There was a book that Tara read.
Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. The waffle boxes.
We're just in one box at a time.
There's syrup in that box. I need butter in that one. That one's blank. And women are like spaghetti. You don't know where one noodle starts and the other
begins. I think
that's
a part of why men are so good at self-care, of like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch the game. And that's all I'm going to do for the next 2 hours. Where Tara, like, cannot. She can't do that.
But
we digress.
But to the point that you have to get out of your head. And so everybody can do that a little differently. For me, like, I will, and I work with my husband, right? We work in a business together. So
I didn't know your husband works with you.
So he will literally come. I'll be in the shower and he'll be like, because he does the accounting. He's like, what's this charge on the American Express? And, you know, literally 10 o'clock at night, he's asking questions. And I'm very much like, I have stopped. I will tell him, I have stopped working. Mm-hmm. It's 6 o'clock. I'm not working anymore. He will go and be at his desk and he'll work until 9, 10 o'clock, just randomly sitting at his desk, watching sports, whatever he's doing, and then want to bring me into the fold. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Like, I work from home, I have to turn this off.
Yeah.
So I will go, I'll get in the bed, I will put on some music, I'll just really try to get out of my head.
Yeah.
He will get in the bed and I tell him, if you want to have sex, just remember, we cannot start talking about the kids and this issue and the business.
And then turn the key from it,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
But he'll be there and he'll just, just a quick question. No, you just blew. I spent 20 minutes trying to get out of my head.
Yes.
And you just put me right back in there.
Yes.
Because you just brought up an issue. Now I got to think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. So I just said very clear. If you start talking about work, I'm just going to assume that we're not having sex. So just be clear about that. Let's just be very clear.
Oh my gosh, that's a great boundary.
I love that. I mean, I think one of the big things that we hit here at the end is just that it is such a different experience in a relationship, being a man, being a woman, and in this context of, like, you know, the journey that women go through versus the relatively simple journey that men go through, is that one of the key things is just that we have some understanding of what is going on.
Yeah.
And then the education that you provide, and then on our side, you know, the therapy that you might need to do in order to repair some of the damage that gets done during this difficult time that couples go through.
Hopefully be proactive and start working on that. I think it's so important as a couple, as we're speaking here, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to bring my husband in here. We need to talk through a couple
things. Talking.
I mean, but that here's the saddest part, because, like, we're always doing research stuff. Like, couples wait 7 to 10 years of being in major distress before even seeking counseling. Like, imagine being 7 to 10 years. Like, of course, the two of us, right? We were therapists when we met, when we got together. And then following the transition of our blended family and twins, like, we were compelled to do the work. But I think most people aren't compelled to do the work. They just think, oh, the grass might be greener, or this person's just not for me. And I agree, there are some people that are not for each other, but you don't have to be therapist to really be compelled to do this work individually. It starts with the individual.
And you probably see the same thing. A woman who's been going through symptoms, stuff for a while before, and again, being getting on it earlier, going get treatment, hearing this podcast, and you're not even experiencing it yet, but just like,
now you'll know.
Holding knowledge. It in your
knowledge. Knowledge is power.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ariana.
You're amazing. And being able to have you in the studio just feels so, it's just genuine. And I love the work you're doing. And I thank you for changing my life. Literally, I tell everybody about you. I could be in the dentist chair. It doesn't matter. I was like, you have to go to Tula Wellness. I changed your life. And it wasn't even about, for me, being on the HRT, like sitting, it was an hour that I was crying. I was bawling. I was just full of like, I guess confusion, because everyone kept steering me in the wrong direction. And I'm not saying like, don't take an SSRI, but I knew for me that wasn't the answer. I'd been on them in the past. And the nurse practitioner, she listened to me. She got me. All of the things in the office are so like women empowered, and there's like vibrators, and like, I loved all of that stuff. Like, it just felt so comfortable.
Yeah. That's the goal, is to, for you to feel empowered to live your best life. Like, that really is the goal, is to give you that hope back. And that's why our visits are designed for, the first visit is an hour long visit, so that we can hear your story and really take that time. And I was very intentional about it doesn't make money, but I know I'm saving lives every day, and it's very gratifying. So the aesthetics part is what keeps us in business. But women want to look cute. Thank God.
But, I go to you for that too.
So one more time, if you are if you're a listener who's in Tucson, Tula Wellness, check them out. Also, you said you're also a coach as well. Could maybe tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, menopause coaching. It's just basically, I have people that are out of state. I have a couple out of state licenses, but the coaching is really more just the same as a visit, but it's not as medically inclined. And I'll give you information and you can at least get those medications. But I, certain situations, I can't always prescribe the medication, but I see patients all over the country. Wow. We have these conversations and at least give you your power back, so you know what to look for, helping you find a provider that, you know, could work better for you. But again, it's not just the hormone part of it. It's just, what am I going through right now? Mm-hmm. And how do I begin to make some changes so I can feel better? Because I know that I'm not in my best space.
Well, and it's the start of support in a community, whatever that community is. So you're not alone in it. You don't have to silently suffer. So.
And also, you have the Stay Juicy podcast.
Stay Juicy podcast. Yes, we dive into all things, like I said, juicy lives, juicy experiences, juicy vaginas. So I do a lot of education, and then there's interviews with interesting people. The last one was with the other woman who created the water slide. We talk about everything from purpose to pleasure, and just really helping women know that you're not alone in this journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey that I'm on as well. So there's a lot of episodes where I'm just rambling on about life and what's going on. And, you know, if you make it to the end of those podcast, good for you. But
those are some of our most listened to podcasts. We just ramble on about the train wreck we are. Well, thank you for taking your suffering and also your education, your experience, and bring it into this beautiful business that you've created, the podcast you're doing, the book you've written, and I know you're making one more. And we'll have you back on again for sure. At day 365 for me.
Yes, I think we should. Day 365.
And here's what happened.
Sure.
Nothing has changed, but I'm still living my best life. I'm still juicy. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and